most of the things that I've been able to accomplish in my life are things that people would have expected of me from the very beginning. You know, the athletic stuff and the academics. I mean, if you would have told somebody that knew me way back in the day that Rod graduated from college, they'd be like, oh, you know, not surprised by that. Or if you would have told somebody way back in the day that, you know, Rod has this gorgeous wife, they would have said, well, you know, I expected that. And if you would have said, you know, Rod has these great kids, they would have said, well, I'm not surprised by that. But I'll tell you what, back in the day, if you would have ever told anybody, you know, Rod Lott became a pastor, became an ordained minister, they'd be like, no way, man. Are you kidding me? That guy? No, I don't believe you. And so, like I said, this is like, it's a God thing. You know, nobody back in the day would have ever expected something like this. And I have to be honest with you, I would never have expected it either. And although there's a long list of people that had a part in that, like several links in the chain along the way, there's one special person that I would like to thank, and that's my mother, who's sitting in the front row. And, guys, the reason for that is, I just tell you, as a woman of prayer, here's a woman that, although each one of us in our own way gave her a whole lot of reasons to give up, and each one of us in our own way made it really, really difficult for her to persevere, she prayed her husband and all of her children into a life in Christ. I sometimes wonder which of us kept her on her knees the most. And, you know, my sister Judy's here. I'm thinking it might be one of us, but Judy's taking credit for that. Okay, thank you. But the first, guys, so the very first lesson and our very first message that I'll send out to you is to the moms, to the mothers. You know, guys, if you have kids that are wayward still, or they haven't come to know the Lord, or you have a husband that's not quite there with you yet, persevere. You keep praying. You know, I'm just telling you, when mothers pray, good things happen. They do. Sometimes not right away, but if you hang in there long enough, I mean, God has a way of just taking care of moms. And so moms, don't give up. Don't give up. Good things happen when mothers pray. Now, okay, so the next part of this becomes a little bit more challenging because I'm kind of like a control freak, okay? I taught high school science for many, many years, and I like everything scripted out. I like to know the lesson plan, the objectives, the goals from start to finish with no spaces in between, okay? And so Pastor Paul, he kind of knows that too, I think, and so he kind of told me about what today was going to look like over a month ago, you know, that I was going to be ordained, and more than that, I would get to preach my first message. And so I began to work on the sermon right away. I'm like, you know, I've always told my kids when I was teaching how important first impressions are. You know, this is like a first impression. I get to be up here, this will be a first impression. And I really wanted it to be a good one. You know what I'm saying? So I start to work on a sermon. Now, maybe it gets easier over time. I don't know. But right now, just so you know, for me, to write a sermon takes like 30 to 40 hours. You know, I just labor over it, and I pour everything into it, and there's so much work that goes into it. And so I know I want to get started with it right away. And it's kind of interesting because when we were together, and Pastor Paul gave me that and said, you know, you're going to preach this sermon, one of the things he said is, you know, this might be a good time for you to give your testimony. You know? And I'm thinking in the back of my head, well, you know what? There's a good chance that my kids are going to be here that day. There's a good chance that my parents are going to be here that day. Certainly my wife is going to be here that day. And you know, there's parts of my testimony that are pretty ugly, you know, and they all had to live through that. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, it's like, you know, why do we have to dredge all that back up again? I mean, really, you know, why would I want to put them through that again? And so I was resistant to it. Now, I didn't tell them that. I wasn't exactly honest. Sorry about that, boss. What I said instead was, you know, I preached last year, if you remember, and I wove a lot of my testimony into that, and see, I've already given that, and I don't want to become known as just like this testimonial speaker. You know, I want to be able to feel like, you know, people can know me as also being able to preach if I need to, and so, and he seemed to be okay with that. He's okay, you know, and so I let it go, And so I labor away on my first sermon, and I started, like I said, over a month ago, and after a lot of work, and I put the thing together, and I always run a lot of stuff past my wife, Nicole, and so I laid out for her, you know. And I'm expecting that she's going to do what she usually does and give me lots of encouragement, and she doesn't do that. She says instead, "No, you can't preach that." I'm like, "What do you mean I can't preach that? So you know how much work I put into it? You know how good that is? This is like a killer sermon." She's like, "No, you know what? It's not personal. It's not you. You know, you're teaching a message, but you haven't brought it to life." She goes, "Plus, you know what? You're so much better when you're just talking and we're just telling your story. You know, you need to give your story." Okay, so now I get my second thing about telling my story. You know, I got it from my pastor, and I got it from my wife, but I really don't want to tell my story. And so I tell her something just a little bit different, like, "Nicole, I don't want to become known as just like this testimonial speaker. You know, I want to be able to demonstrate that I have some other things going on." And I'm thinking in the back of my head at the same time, like, "Yeah, you know what? Some of my Bible buddies are probably going to be here as well. And I want to be able to flex my spiritual muscles a little bit, you know, and demonstrate just the great insight that God has given me into his word. And I want to be able to show people that I can, you know, do that kind of stuff." And so, like, I resist her, too. But I'm like, "Okay, you know what? We'll start over again." And so I write another sermon. This time I put a little bit of my story in there. And I'm like, "Okay, what do you think about this one?" Nicole said, "No, it's way too deep. That's fine for you know, a Bible study. If you want, you know, the guys in your Tuesday night, if you want to share that with them, that's great. But it's not for Sunday." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? This is the second one." And, you know, I say, "Okay, fine. I'll start over again. But, you know, this time I'm not sharing it with you at all." You know, you get to hear it on Sunday morning with everyone else. You know, I'm tired of it. You know, we're at the end now. And in fact, when I finished up this third one, this one that I prepared, the one that's sitting right up here, was already like Tuesday of this week. Okay? And I like to have stuff done ahead of time because, you know, I write everything out. This is like 16 pages of notes, just so you know, because I script everything out. Okay? And then I start to work on it. I spend a lot of time because I don't want it to seem like I'm just reading off of the notes up here, because that doesn't look quite right, you know what I mean? So I try to memorize as much of it as I can, and so that I can, you know, that everything will flow smooth and I look really, you know, good. That's what I want to look. So I do that, and I'm prepared. And now Thursday comes along, and Pastor Paul says, "You have this thing together. You know, we really need to, Thursday is the day that we put the stuff up on the screen. You guys are used to that, where the message points come up on the screen and the scripture comes up on the screen." I'm like, "Yeah, we can definitely do that." You know, I'm like used to putting all of these presentations together, these PowerPoint presentations for school anyway. I said, "I can do that." You know, I said, "Well," and I knew that we used something a little bit different, but like, how different can it be? It can't be that hard to put that stuff in there. And so I come up on Thursday morning, and, you know, we're going to meeting at like 9 o'clock, and now it's like 11:30 or 12 o'clock, whatever, and he showed me how to do everything, and nothing's going in there. You know, I can't get any of it to work. It's like, what, this is, you know, this is ridiculous how hard this is, you know. And it's like, okay, you should notice that something's not right when there's this resistance, even when you're in church, to being able to do what you want to do. And so, but nonetheless, Pastor Paul comes and I get him to help me put the stuff in there. We get everything in. And even as he's putting it in there, he's like, "Man, you got a lot of scripture in here, man. It's like 35 slides, 35, you know, all this text in there." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, you better believe it, man. I'm going to knock the socks off." And so that's way it is. Now it's Thursday, okay? And I still haven't told Nicole much about it, but I'm still not feeling right about it. It's like, you know, I really should. Now that it's done, you know, I can run past her because she knows better. At this point, there's no way in the world that she's not going to be able to give me some encouragement over this, right? Because she has to. She knows. It's like, okay, now it's Thursday. You know I don't have enough time to start over again, so we're stuck with this. And I tell her, I said, "Nicole, you want to hear this?" Okay. Now it's, you know, actually it's Friday night. And she finally has time to sit down, and she's like, "Okay, you can run past me." By now, okay, so I haven't had to rehearse, you know, since Tuesday, and, you know, I'm off for the summer, so I got lots of time, and I got it down, man. It's like dynamite. This thing runs like smooth as silk, and I'm like, "Okay, well, this is so ready." And I'm sitting her down, and I said, like, "Okay, she's going to just be blown away." And so I'm running through the thing, and it's just going well, and it's like, you know, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, "Wow, this thing is really going well, you know?" But I'm looking at her face, and she's not making her normal, like, smiley faces and, you know, doing the, you know, amen stuff and giving me the encouragement. In fact, she's got a different kind of a look on her face. And so I'm just like, what the heck is going on with this? So Anyway, I'm just being honest with you. I finally get to the end, and she doesn't say anything. Nothing. I mean, she's just sitting there. Nothing. So I'm like, so what did you think? And she gives me the answer that you really never, ever want to hear. You know what I'm saying? Do you really want me to tell you the truth? And, of course, when they say that, you know that you really don't want them to tell you the truth, right? But at that point, you don't have any choice. You got to know what the truth is. And so you're like, yeah, of course. You know, tell me, be honest. And she's like, you can't preach that. I'm like, what do you mean, Nicole? How could you possibly, at this point, it's Friday night, man. You know, I'm going for a walk with my buddies on Saturday morning. My parents are coming in. You know, supposed to be here at like 1 o'clock. You know, I ain't got time to fix any of this stuff. I got to go with this. You know, could you at least give me something? She goes, well, what do you expect? You don't listen to your pastor? You don't listen to your wife? How do you expect that it's going to go? And I'm like, oh, man, now I'm mad. It's like, you know what, don't even talk to me anymore. I don't want to hear any more from you. And yet at the same time, I had this uneasy feeling about it even from the very beginning. I knew that it wasn't right. I knew that a lot of it was from me, okay? And I couldn't sleep at all Friday night. And I'm thinking, Mike, you know, I want to blame Nicole, but I know it's not Nicole. You know, sometimes it's just God. It's just the Holy Spirit working on you. And it felt like that. And it's like, you know, something's not right, Rod. And, you know, why don't you want to listen, you know? And so I'm like, okay, I need, you know, I give in. I need to change this. I need to change it. And so I usually meet with the guys on Saturday morning, and God is unbelievable. You know, there's this particular guy, actually Sam over there, and I needed to talk to him more than any of the rest of them, okay? And there's seven of us that get together and walk on Saturday morning, and it's like never are there just two of us together. And yet now, unexplainably, out of the blue, one guy can't make it. One guy, his legs bother him. He's lame. One guy's up all night with a dog barking, and he can't come because he's too tired. And one guy all of a sudden gets sick out of the blue, and all of a sudden now it's just me and Sam. Imagine that. So, and I ran past him. I'm like, Sam, you know, I feel like the Holy Spirit doesn't want me to preach this message. He's got another message that he wants me to preach. But now I've gone through everything. In fact, I've told Pastor Paul like three different sermons that I'm going to preach, and now it's none of those. He's going to think that I'm just like whacked out, you know, like I'm just like this feather in the wind going wherever the wind blows. I don't know if I can even tell him that. And Sam's like, no, he does that too. You know, sometimes he'll change his message at the very last moment. I said, but, you know, I already got all the PowerPoint slides, like 35 slides. And, you know, he put a lot of work in helping me get that all in there. You know, you think he's going to be mad? No, he won't be mad. You think I should tell him? I said. He said, no, you don't have to tell him. Really? And so I didn't tell him. By the way, I told him this morning, and he looked at me like, because I think he's a bit of a control freak, too. He likes everything to go really well. But he did say, finally, after he gave me the strangest look you've seen for a while, he said, okay, I trust you. But he looked at me like, I don't really trust you, but what are we going to do? So, anyway, with that being said, this is going to be a little bit different. Like I said, normally I'm like a control freak. And believe me, I got the 16 pages of notes here. And if you guys, if you want to hear this sermon tomorrow, you know, I'm on staff. I'll probably be around here. So now you can come in and hear it. But it's going to be a little bit different from that. And, you know, the problem is, you know, there's sometimes, as much as you try to avoid it, you can't help but allowing what you want, okay, to come into play. It wasn't all selfish. Yeah, there were parts of me. I wanted to shine. I wanted to look good. I wanted to show off, you know the education that I have and the time that I've spent in the Word of God and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of it was good intentions, too. I mean, we can go down the wrong path with good intentions, you know. Because I wanted to preach a powerful message. I wanted to rescue a few people that I know are on the wrong path or been going down there because I've been there before. One of the things that Sam and I talked about is, do people really have to go through that brokenness? Do they really have to go to that deep, dark place before they can finally come to Christ? Is there any other way? You know, is there any other way that you can be saved from all that pain and all that suffering? And you know what? We agree that there is, but it depends on the personality of the guy, you know. And sometimes we have to go through that. And so I'm like, and that was my whole idea with this. It's like, man, if I can save anybody the pain and suffering that I had to go through, that's the message that I want to preach. I want to save them and bring them out of there. You know, and sometimes, and you know, I let the fleshy side of me get to it sometimes. It's because sometimes you just want to grab somebody, you just want to, you know, shake them. It's like, would you wake up and look where you're at? You don't have to be there. You don't have to go through all this. Would you look? I've been there before. I know exactly what it looks like. Would you listen? You know? But some people don't listen. And that was the, you know, that was the old me anyway. You know, I've been trying to divorce myself from a lot of that, because in the old days, that's what I used to do, man. If somebody wouldn't listen, you know, I'd just get big and I'd get mean, and I, you know, if I needed to beat them up a little bit, well, if I had to, that's what it took to enforce my will, then so be it. And so, guys, I'll be honest with you. This is why Nicole had such a problem, and why she had that look on her face, is that the sermon that I wrote probably would have beat some of you up quite a bit. In fact, I was even thinking about bringing my really big Bible and bring the big stick today, but God had other plans, you know. And the message was all about grace, you know, what it takes to get grace and receive grace, and some other stuff in there. And one of the things that came to me over time was, you know, but you can't force the grace. You know, just by the definition, it's something that God does. You know, it's not something I do. You know, I don't have any control of the grace. I don't have any control whether somebody receives the grace. That's completely about God and what God does. You know, and so this message is going to look a little bit different. And even though I'm a bit of a control freak, and I have usually 16 pages of notes, my notes for today look like that. Okay? And I've always struggled a little bit with letting go and letting God. In fact, I'm going to read a poem to you that I used to have taped up on the mirror above my dresser for the very longest time. And I probably need to put it back up there again, because I have a tendency to fall away from that from time to time. But it looks like this. And it's called Let Go and Let God. And it says, as children bring their broken toys with tears for you to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last I snatched them back and cried, how could you be so slow? My child, he cried, what could I do? You never did let go. See, I've always had a problem with letting go completely and letting God. And I've worked on that, and sometimes I'm able to do that a little bit better, and sometimes not so much. And so today, I've decided to let go a little bit and let God's message come out, and let go of my stuff and quit trying to help God out with my own particular ways. And I feel confident that it's going to go well, but if it doesn't, you can blame Sam, you can blame Nicole, you can blame Pastor Paul. One of the ways that Jesus taught was in parables. Okay? And the one thing that's really cool about parables is you don't put any names in there, okay? Because I'm still resistant to give my full testimony for the reasons that I talked about before. And I talked with Sam about this, and this is what came up. And he says, you know what? We do a lot of this testimonial stuff in recovery. And, you know, depending on the audience, you don't always have to fill in all the gruesome details. Sometimes you can make it a little bit different. And yesterday morning at 9 o'clock when I was driving back, and that kind of sunk into me finally, it's like, wow, you know what? Jesus always taught in parables. And one of the things about a parable is that just about anybody can fit into that. You know, I could give you my story, and it would be my story. And maybe some of you could relate to it, and maybe some of you wouldn't, and you could be impressed with Rod's story and the way that God's moved him. But I'm going to do what Jesus did, okay? I'm going to talk to you in a parable. And in the Bible, when Jesus gets into a parable, he says, the kingdom of God is like... So he says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, and then he gets into a parable. Or the kingdom of God is like the sower of seeds. Okay, so today, guys, the kingdom of God is like the collector of stones. Okay? Once there was a young man who began to collect stones. And as he grew, so did his collection of stones. They became so big and so heavy that he had to have this big bag to keep his stones in. And even though they were getting bigger and they were getting heavier, he was growing in his strength. And so now, as a full-grown man, he was able to carry a lot more stones. In fact, he carried the stones so well, and such so many, that he became known as the collector of stones. It became his identity. And in some ways, he was really proud of that. People would marvel at how many stones he could carry and what a big bag, what a big sack of stones he had. And so he went along carrying a sack of stones. And although the stones got heavy from time to time, and he really wished that he could put them down, he really couldn't, because he was, after all, the collector of stones. Now, as he walked along through his journey, and his bag of stones became even bigger, his back started to become very sore, and his arms became very weary. And yet, along the way, he met this beautiful young woman. And she had her bag of stones as well. But he thought, wow, you know, when I'm with her and we're talking and she's, you know, she's just, I'm so infatuated with her, it's just like my sack of stones becomes much lighter. You know, perhaps we could walk down the journey of life together. And as we talk, you know, there'll be a distraction and we won't feel the weight of the stones that we are carrying. And so she agreed because her sack of stones became lighter as she talked to the man as well. In fact, his stones started to become so light because of the distraction, and he noticed that her stones were pretty heavy as well. He offered, I'll take some of your stones and put them in my sack and carry them along for you. Because he was, after all, the collector of stones. Now, as they walked along, they finally said, wow, this place where we're at is very difficult. It's becoming rocky. And this, now, even when we're together, the sack of stones is becoming very heavy. It's hard to carry them. And he said, well, you know, I'm carrying half of your stone, so what are you complaining about, you know? But they get to the seashore, and they see a boat. And they look across to the other side, and they say, wow, you know, on the other side, it looks like it's not as rocky over there. You know, perhaps if we just went over to the other side, the stones wouldn't be so heavy. And so they decide to get into the boat together. But the woman looks at the man and she says, I don't think all of us are going to fit in there. That boat doesn't look like it can carry you, me, and all that sack of stones. Why don't you leave the stones behind? Or perhaps we should just stay here for a little while and unload some of the stones before we get into the boat. Well, as much as he wanted to, the man could not put down his sack of stones because he was, after all, the collector of stones. And so, being very persuasive, he persuades the beautiful young woman that there's room for all of them in the boat. And so they get into the boat, and although it's very low to the bottom, it's almost taking on water, it's still afloat. And he says, see, we have room for all of us. And they start off across the lake. Well, it's okay in the beginning, but they're so low in the water now that as the wind comes up and the waves start to come and the seas become a little bit more churned up, all of a sudden now water's starting to come into the boat. Okay? And she's like, we need to get rid of the stones because we're going to sink. Yeah, and she wants to start to unload the stones, but he's like, no, I can't let go of the stones. He holds on to them even tighter because he is, after all, the collector of stones. And so as the water starts to come in, and they begin to argue about what should be done with the stones, and she says, you need to get rid of them, you need to get rid of them, but he can't get rid of them. And so she becomes very, very alarmed and very scared, and although she wants to remain in the boat with the man, she doesn't have any choice. Because of her fear, she needs to get out of the boat. And so she jumps out of the boat and begins to swim to the other side. And although the man is very angry because she's abandoned him, he thinks, well, maybe now the boat will float. Certainly, now there's I shouldn't have to get rid of my stones because he is, after all, the collector of stones. And yet, even with the woman out of the boat, and now there's water filling the boat, and with the extra stones that he had collected from the woman, the boat begins to sink. Okay? And even though the boat begins to sink, and he knows that he's going under, he even holds on now tighter to the boat, to the sack of stones, because now that's all he has, okay? And as the boat sinks out from under him, he holds on to the stones even tighter, and he goes into the water, and he begins to try to swim, you know, still holding on to the sack of stones, because he is, after all, the collector of stones. But now, with stones in one hand and only one arm to swim with, he's really struggling, and those stones are taking him down fast. And the woman, who's now made it to the other side, begins to call out to him, let go. They are, after all, only stones. Let go and come over here. It's so much nicer over here. If you don't let go of the stones, you're going to drown. But he couldn't let go of the stones because he was, after all, the collector of stones. And the young woman couldn't bear to watch him drowned, and so she turned her back. And as he began to sink, and started to struggle even more, well, others came and started to call out to him from the shore. Even though the woman had turned her back, there were others. And they started to throw out lifelines to the man. And they said, here, take this line, tie it around yourself. We can save you. We can pull you in. But he realized in order to take hold of the lifeline and tie it around himself, he would have to let go of the stones. And of course he couldn't, because he was, after all, the collector of stones. And so the stones began to pull him down as his strength began to finally fail, because he was a strong man. So he held up in the water for quite a long time, but eventually the stones began to pull him down to the bottom. And he realized, I don't have any choice. I either have to let go of the stones or drown. But it was still a hard decision, because even though he was drowning with the stones were all he had. And it really wasn't until he was just about out of air, he'd held his breath and he'd struggled for as long as he possibly could, that he finally let go of the stones. And right away he floated back up to the top. He was able to grab onto the line. He was able to tie it around himself. And those that were on the side were able to pull him in. And as he finally was able to regain his breath, and he stood up, and for the very first time, without his sack of stones, he said, wow, this feels so great. I don't know why I carried the stones for so long. Even though, and once he was on the other side, and the danger of drowning was over, actually the young woman came back into his life, and now without any stones. And although he walked along the shore, from time to time, he does see a stone, and he considers picking it up. He no longer does, because he is no longer a collector of stones. Guys, I actually wrote a couple of parables, and there's another one. I think I'll save that one for the next day. I've tried to be watching the clock, and it's one of the things that I tell people, and one of the things why I'm kind of like really anal about this is, it's like, you know what, stories, you never know how long they're going to go. You know, and with this one and just telling it, guys, I don't know how it's going to be the next time. I don't know how it's going to be this time. But I'm hoping, perhaps, that's been able to touch you. Maybe some of you guys are already at a place where you've let go of the bag of stones, where you've grabbed a hold of the line, and you've been able to be pulled in. But I'm telling you, on the other side, there are still stones, and there's huge temptation all along the way to pick up the stones and start to collect them again. And I'm going to suggest to you that you don't do that, okay? Maybe you're early on, you're starting to collect the stones. Maybe you're one that has found somebody else that can give you a distraction from the weight of the stones, and you feel like you can bear them now in the company of someone else. Or maybe you're starting to think about getting into the boat with someone else and taking your stones across to the other side with you so you don't have to unload them, and so that you think somehow on the other side that journey is going to be easier. It won't be. You know, and maybe there's some of you out there that are right now drowning, because you just refuse to let go of the stones, okay? What I'm going to do right now, and this is something that's a little bit new for me too, but I'm going to give you kind of an opportunity, if you want to let go of the stones. And if God had given me more prep time, I probably would have brought a whole supply of stones in here, and we would have passed them out to everyone, and you could have thrown rocks up here if you would have wanted to, and maybe you can later on. And this isn't, guys, this isn't just for those who maybe are still on the other side and still holding on to their stones. It's for everyone. If you've got stones, you're wherever you are, or you've started to pick them up again, you know, this is for you too, okay? But if everyone could just close their eyes and bow their heads for just a minute. Because I don't know why you're here. Certainly I don't know what's in your sack. I don't know what your stones look like, but you do. God does. Okay, so I'm going to invite you right now to just unload them. You know, maybe you're still on the other side. You think that somehow you can find the strength to carry them on your own. I'm going to tell you can't. You know, I'm not sure why you came here today, but I'm going to suggest to you whatever the reason was, that's not it. The reason is so that you could be here with us today and you could unload some of those stones. So guys, I'm just going to say, if you have stones to unload, You know, I don't have any for you to throw up here, but if you could just put your hand up and just say, you know what, Lord, that's me. I got these stones, and I've been picking them up along the way, and I've been carrying them so much that now it seems like my identity has become the collector of stones. And I really don't want that identity. I want to get rid of it. I want a new identity in Christ. I want to rid myself of all of that stuff. I tell you what, God will really help you. You know, guys, you don't have to drown. You don't have to even get close to being drowning. All you have to do is just decide to let go of them. And I tell you what, they're only stones. You can definitely do that. In fact, I'm going to pray for you right now. And then, guys, after service, when we get done, if you have some of those stones that you want to unload, we've got people that will be up here in front, and they'll be more than happy to help you. They'll be able to pray you through that, and they'll be happy to help you unload some of those stones, and they'd love to do that. But I'm just going to invite you right now to take God up on that offer to help unload some of that stuff. And if you just pray with me, Father God, there are so many out there. And we all have a tendency to want to bear the heavy load. And it just seems like in this world, it's easy for our identity to become the collector of stones. Lord, there are so many that are so weary and so tired, and yet they don't know what to do. They just can't seem to be able to open their hands and let them go. Lord, help them to release that grip. Release that grip over the bag and allow them to just to fall into the sea and be cast out. For those that are drowning, Lord, help them to see the lifeline. Help them to notice that all they have to do is just let go of the stones and grab a hold of the rope and they can be saved. And for each of us that have picked them up on the other side, Lord, help us to let go of them. Help us to put all of our trust and faith in you. Help us to let go and let you do what you do. And Lord, I just pray all this stuff in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.